Blog Talk Radio.
I had a dream the other night that, well, I didn't understand. A figure walked in through the mist with a flintlock in his hand. His clothes were torn and dirty as he stood there by my bed. He took off his three-cornered hat, and speaking low to me, he said, "We fought a revolution to secure our liberty. We wrote the Constitution as a shield from tyranny. For future generations, this legacy we gave. In this, the land of the free and home of the brave. The freedoms we secured for you, we hoped you'd always keep. But tyrants labored endlessly while your parents were asleep. Your freedom's gone, your courage lost, you're no more than a slave. In this, the land of the free and home of the brave. You buy permits to travel and permits to own a gun, permits to start a business or to build a place for one. On land that you believe you own, you pay a yearly rent, although you have no voice in saying how the money's spent. Your children must attend a school that doesn't educate, and your Christian values can't be taught according to the state. You read about the current news in a regulated press, and you pay a tax you do not owe to please the IRS. Your money is no longer made of silver nor of gold. You trade your wealth for paper so your life can be controlled. You pay for crimes that make our nation turn from God in shame. You've taken Satan's number. You've traded in your name. You've given government control to those who do you harm so they could burn down churches and seize the family farm and keep our country deep in debt, put men of God in jail, harass your fellow countrymen while corrupted courts prevail. Your public servants don't uphold the solemn oaths they've sworn, and your daughters visit doctors so their children won't be born. Your leaders send artillery and guns to foreign shores and send your sons to slaughter fighting other people's wars. Can you regain the freedoms for which we fought and died? Or don't you have the courage or the faith to stand with pride? And are there no more values for which you'll fight to save? Or do you wish your children to live in fear and be a slave? Oh, sons of the Republic, arise, take a stand. Defend the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. Preserve our great republic and each God-given right. And pray to God to keep the torch of freedom burning bright. As I awoke, he'd vanished in the mist from whence he came. His words were true. We are not free, but we have ourselves to blame. For even now, as tyrants trample each God-given right, we only watch and tremble, too afraid to stand and fight. If he stood by your bedside in a dream while you were asleep and wondered what remains of the freedoms he'd fought to keep, what would be your answer if he called out from the grave, "Is this still the land of the free and home of the brave?" God bless you, and God bless this room.
America fear their government, and the government is being run by too many powerful agencies like the IRS and others. I think it's time the people take the country back through their representative government.
Don't have a
Ranchers try to feed his cattle and sheep. Only the people's land. Try to live as a free man. Your body is illegal. Let him home. Time to stop these thugs from stealing what's been got in the town. Calling for a revolution. Calling for it now. It's time to save our constitution while we still got the guns in our hands. Back the clock of a tyranny. For if we don't, then who will do it for ourselves? And how about our children? What kind of future will we leave them? And if we won't, we'll wake up slaves on the global plantation, calling for a revolution. Save our constitution while we still got the guns in our hands. Calling for a revolution. Calling for it now. It's time to save our constitution while we still got the guns in our hands. While we still got the guns. Still got the guns in our hands.
Good morning and welcome to the Jim Dunzing Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours, as we begin the broadcast day here on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. It is the Ides of March. It is Open Line Friday. The number to join us, 347-324-3704, 347-324-3704. 3704. When you call, you must press the button, I believe it's a 1, which indicates you want to be in the host queue. That will distinguish you from those callers who call in on a regular basis to listen to the show on their cell phone. The number again for Open Line Friday, 347-324-3704. This is going to be an important show. You will not want to miss it. We'll be right back here on the Jim Dunzing Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours. After this, this one goes out while we wait for your phone calls. This one goes out to all of you Paul Tards and Paul Bots who know it's about the idea, not the Paul.
This is something that is an intellectual fight. It's an intellectual. We have to know what we want. We have to be convinced that freedom works. We have to be convinced that we cannot depend on others and we don't have any right to tell other people what to do. And if we did that, if we used that golden rule on interpersonal relationships, we ought to know how to use the golden rule on international relationships. If we don't want other countries doing anything to us, we shouldn't do it to them either.
I've been blinded by the light and smirked by the darkness. But now that I'm awake, grab your lighters and let's spark this debate for the fate of our nation and lives. Stuff is important to both left and right sides. So vote for the guy who's been consistent and strong, the defender of freedom who's been right all along. His name is Ron Paul, this here's my endorsement. It may not mean much, but together we're flawless, unstoppable. Unless they rig the election, which they probably will, then shit's gonna get hectic. But they can't stop the landslide, whatever they do. And he can win by a landslide if his message gets through. It's a message of hope for a peaceful tomorrow, and a message of joy for our world full of sorrow. So do the right thing, please vote with your heart, and be
Martin
a true
King,
hero
Rosa Parks, Gandhi, they're the heroes of mine in practice of civil disobedience to try to get the burden of government on our backs, and that's why I'm the one that protects
back to the individual blacks who are in the city who are so unfairly being treated and thrown in prison. That's the message that needs to be heard, and I'd appreciate somebody helping bring that up rather than nitpicking over something done many years ago.
Ron Paul, victory coming soon if you stand with the man who's been fighting for you. He's been called an old loon just for telling the truth. He's been blacked out, scared, ridiculed on the news, but the establishment's scared. Just look at the proof. Ron Paul's the only candidate for the youth. And now that they're dying, it's even more vital. His sayings are scripture, like here in the Bible. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not speak if thou art not real. Thou shalt not torture, thou shalt not tax the wage of a man who's been breaking his back. Thou shalt not break a constitutional oath. Thou shalt not skew the results of a vote. Thou shalt not go invading a nation without Congress's vote and a clear mission statement.
We need a strong national defense, and we need to only go to war with a declaration of war.
But if our national security is threatened, if the evidence is presented to the Congress, I'd ask them for a declaration of war. But then it would be all out. I mean, I would know exactly who the war is clearly against.
And fight the war, win it,
and get it over with. But it would be much more precise.
The world's been waking up. We need a revolution. We'd like a peaceful change, and we keep our constitution. That's why the doctor flew in to fix the sick nation. From debt, death, war, and hyperinflation. Okay. We've got a lot of patience, but we haven't got the time. We gotta spread his message, because the media's been lying. They keep saying he can't win, but he's the people's choice. If you read between the headlines, that means we don't have a voice. Damn! Is this the land of the free? So where the one we elect really speaks for the people? Man, or are we just people who go with the flow and don't see their evil? I really don't know if America can make it, but I really do hope we the people will awaken before it's too late. Please answer the call. Elect for president the good Dr. Ron Paul.
This idea that you have to give up so much of your liberties to be saved? That's nonsense. You don't have to give up any liberties to be saved. Don't have true liberty. The wealth cannot last. It's been decades of bad economic ideas and bad foreign policy and bad monetary policy. That's where the problem is.
He's a man with a plan for the country he loves. Only he understands enough is enough. Enough for the tax, enough for the spending, enough for these wars that appear never ending. Unless we elect us a principled person who'll do what it takes to reverse this curse and end the Fed. We're in the red and end these wars before we end up dead.
Ron Paul 2012.
And welcome back to the Jim Dunzing Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours, as we begin the broadcast day here on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. It is the anniversary of the conspiracy to kill Caesar, the Ides of March 2013, and today, a lot of interesting things in the news this open line Friday. By the way, the number to join us, 347-324-3704, 347-324-3704. There's a story up. It's right now only being covered by, I can't say that. It's right now being covered by the Smoking Gun. That's where I'm getting my information on it. A hacker targets a Clinton confidant, that's how it's described, a Clinton confidant in a new attack. The breach exposed years of emails exchanged with Hillary Clinton. The hacker, who has spent the past several months breaking into the email accounts of family, friends, and political allies of the Bush family, has crossed party lines and illegally accessed the AOL account of a former senior White House advisor to President Bill Clinton. Well, that would make sense if he was looking at the political allies, friends, and family of President Bill Clinton. One of George Herbert Walker Bush's biggest political allies in the last 30 years, 50 years, has been Bill Clinton, 50 years, going back to his days as at least to his days as governor in Arkansas, and probably back to his days protesting in Russia, to his days at Oxford, to his days of getting out of riotous arrests in Chicago with the writing of a letter. Political allies of the Bush family, and they somehow, for some reason, via perhaps MENA, Arkansas, connect the dots to former President Bill Clinton, and then his circle of advisors, confidants, etc. And the one they went to was Sidney Blumenthal. The hacker uses the alias Guccifer, has defaced Colin Powell's Facebook page and breached the former Secretary of State's AOL account. That right there is a national security issue, that the Secretary of State is still using AOL. The 64-year-old Blumenthal, the article continues here on the Smoking Gun, who was unaware that he had been hacked by Guccifer, worked as an assistant and senior advisor to Clinton for about 3.5 years, ending in January 2001. He worked as a senior advisor to Hillary Clinton's 2008 presidential campaign and has remained one of her closest friends. Blumenthal, by breaching Blumenthal's account, Guccifer was able to access his correspondence dating back to at least 2005 with an array of Washington insiders, including political operatives, journalists, and government officials. As with the hacker's other victims, it is unclear how Blumenthal's account was illegally accessed or why he was targeted. I can tell you why he was targeted. He's one of the more important right-hand men, the Cheney, if you will, of the Clinton family, Sidney Blumenthal there. If you want access to Bush's political allies, including both of the Clintons, then their biggest assistant, Sidney Blumenthal, makes a very intelligent target. The hacker, the article continues, Guccifer, specifically zeroed in on Blumenthal's extensive correspondence with Hillary Rodham Bloodsport Benghazi Clinton, sorting Blumenthal's account so as to single out all email sent to Clinton. Additionally, Guccifer further sorted the mail to list, and presumably download, all Word files attached to emails sent to Clinton. It is unknown what plans Guccifer has for these documents, which include foreign policy and intelligence memos that Blumenthal sent to Clinton while she served as Secretary of State. Blumenthal told The Smoking Gun that when he attempted to access his email yesterday morning, he could not successfully log in. He then contacted an AOL representative and was told that his account had been compromised. There's another one. There's another AOL. Blumenthal said that he subsequently reset the password and regained control of his account, although it appears the account is still at AOL. In email screeds, the article continues, Guccifer seems to subscribe to dark conspiracies involving the Federal Reserve, the Council on Foreign Relations, and attendees of something called Bohemian Grove Retreats. The evil is leading this fucked up world. I tell you, this world of tomorrow will be a free world will be a world free of Illuminati, or will be no more. Apparently the words of a hacker who spends too much time online to have proper respect for punctuation. Over the past few months, the article continues, the list of Guccifer hacking victims has included several Bush family friends and members, including Powell, U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski, a senior United Nations official, Rockefeller family members. I thought that was a conspiracy, that Rockefeller and Bush, back to Avril Harriman, were in bed together, literally. Nevertheless, the article continues, former FBI agents, security contractors in Iraq, a former Secret Service agent, and John Negroponte, a former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. A majority of these breaches, here's what I think everyone should take away from this. Most of you don't have documents Guccifer's looking for. Here's the take home from this, though. A majority of these breaches have involved AOL email accounts. We'll be right back here on the Jim Dunzing Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours, as we begin the broadcast day here on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. This one goes out to everybody frantically scrambling to come up in the war room with a story for all of the possible email breaches between 2005 and 2013 between the Clintons and their confidants about any number of issues. Y'all are working overtime today. Keep that coffee coming. We'll be right back here on the Jim Dunzing Show.
Man, you hear this bullshit they be talking every day, man. It's like these motherfuckers is just like professional liars, you know what I'm saying? Wow. Listen, Bin Laden didn't blow up projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga. Bin Laden didn't blow up projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
I pledge no allegiance, nigga. Fuck the president's speeches. I'm baptized by America and covered in leeches. The dirty water that bleaches your soul and your facial features. Drowning you in propaganda that they spit through the speakers. And if you speak about the evil that the government does, the Patriot Act to track you to the type of your blood. They try to frame you and say you was trying to sell drugs. You throw a federal indictment on niggas to show you love. This shit is run by fake Christians, fake politicians. Look at their mansions and look at the condition you live in. All they talk about is terrorism on television. They tell you to listen, but they don't really tell you their mission. They funded Al-Qaeda, and now they blame the Muslim religion. Even though Bin Laden was a CIA tactician, they gave him billions of dollars, and they funded his purpose. Fahrenheit 9/11, that's just scratching the surface.
Bin Laden didn't blow up projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga. Bin Laden didn't blow up projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
They say the rebels in Iraq still fight the Saddam, but that's bullshit. I'll show you why it's totally wrong. 'Cause if another country invaded the hood tonight, it'd be warfare through Harlem and Washington Heights. I wouldn't be fighting for Bush or white America's dream. I'd be fighting for my people's survival and self-esteem. I wouldn't fight for racist churches from the South, my nigga. I'd be fighting to keep the occupation out, my nigga. You ever clock someone who talks shit for looking too wrong? Imagine if they shot at you and was raping your mom. And of course Saddam Hussein had chemical weapons. We sold them that shit after Ronald Reagan's election. Mercenary contractors fighting a new era. Corporate military banking off the war on terror. They controlling the ghetto with the fear of attack. Trying to distract the fact that they engineering the crack. So I'm strapped like Lee Malvo holding a sniper rifle. These bullets will touch your kids. And I don't mean like Michael. Your body sent to the morgue, stripped down and recycled. I fire on house niggas that support you and like you. Cause innocent people get murdered in the struggle daily. And poor people never get shit and struggle daily. This ain't no alien conspiracy theory. This shit is real. Written on a dollar underneath the Masonic seal.
President, I'd rather see the president dead. It's never been said, but I set precedence.
Bin Laden didn't blow up projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga. Bin Laden didn't blow up projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth,
city
nigga.
City records, 80 seconds away from the top. With some cowards fought with the wrong building. They hit the hit hours.
And welcome back to the Jim Dunzing Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours, as we begin the broadcast day here on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. It is the Ides of March open line Friday. The number to join us, 347-324-3704, 347-324-3704. Another important story we just have to cover today. Obama de Mombasa says that Iran is about 1 year away from obtaining a nuclear weapon. Now, when I hear this, I am reminded when perhaps a slightly dumber president said that another foreign leader comprising part of the PNAC puzzle could obtain, not only could obtain, but had nuclear weapons that could kill us in 45 minutes. Here's the story out of Jerusalem. Iran and the AP. Iran is about a year away from developing a nuclear weapon, and the United States remains committed to doing everything in its power to prevent that from happening. President Barack Hussein Obama de Mombasa said in an exclusive interview aired Thursday, it's already aired, on Israeli TV. Just days before he is to arrive in Israel for his first presidential visit, Obama de Mombasa told Israel's Channel 2 that while he still prefers diplomacy over force, a nuclear Iran is a, quote, red line, close quote, and he sounds like sanitarium here, all options remain on the table to stop it. Quote, right now we think it would take over a year or so for Iran to actually develop a nuclear weapon, but obviously we don't want to cut it too close, he said. So when I'm consulting with Bibi, that's apparently the pet name for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, as I have over the last several years on this issue, says the Nobel Prize winning drone-using president, my message to him will be the same as before. If we can resolve it diplomatically, that is a more lasting solution. But if not, I continue to keep all options on the table, says your president from Mombasa. The timeline for action against Iran has been one of the most fraught disputes in an already tense relationship. It's a very tense relationship between Obama and Netanyahu. Israel has repeatedly threatened to act militarily should Iran appear to be on the verge of obtaining a bomb. Very, very tense relationship, including parts where a few months before the election, I'm sure listeners to this show will recall, Panetta went over to Israel, and the rumors on the internet and foreign correspondents was that Panetta and the Israeli brass were sharing battle plans together. So fraught and tense is their relationship. Obama's forecast gives more time than that of Netanyahu, who has signaled that the coming months present a point of no return in dealing with Iran. Here's another quote from Obama de Mombasa. Quote, what I have also said is that there is a window, not an infinite period of time, but a window of time where we can resolve this diplomatically. And it is in all of our interest to do this. They, meaning Iran, are not yet at this point, I think, where they have made a fundamental decision to get right with the international community. I do think they are recognizing that there is a severe cost to continue on the path they are on, and that there is another door open. Yeah, they could turn over the nuclear material they don't have. The article continues here. Israel considers a nuclear-armed Iran to be an existential threat, citing Iranian denials of the Holocaust, its calls for Israel's destruction, its development of missiles capable of striking the Jewish state, and its support for hostile Arab militant groups. You know, Israel, what they say over here, when one finger's pointing at somebody else, there's three pointing back at you. Tehran says its nuclear program is peaceful and designed to produce energy and medical isotopes, a claim that Israel and many Western countries reject. Obama said that a nuclear Iran would also be, quote, dangerous for the world. It would be dangerous for U.S. national security interests. It is unclear whether the follow-up question was, is it more dangerous for America and Israel to have nuclear weapons and be constantly discussing that they're leaving all options, including nuking countries who are behind technologically and have done nothing outside of their borders. Which is it more dangerous to have those nuclear weapons? Don't think that question was asked. In the interview, Obama, the article also continues, Obama also spoke about his relationship with Netanyahu, claiming, it is not as tense as reported, and encouraged Israelis and Palestinians to resume peace talks. He also said he had no immediate plans to release convicted spy Jonathan Pollard, whom Israel has been pressuring to set free after 28 years in prison for spying for Israel. Obama arrives in Israel Wednesday. There was an Israeli spy in America. Obama arrives in Israel Wednesday for a three-day visit that is seen primarily as a means to convey the closeness of the U.S.-Israeli alliance. Here, as the war drums continue to beat louder and louder and louder. We'll be right back here on the Jim Dunzing Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours, as we begin the broadcast day here on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. The number to join us, 347-324-3704, 347-324-3704. You must press the button, I believe it's a 1, indicating you want to be in the host queue, and your call, any subject, goes straight to the top of the list. We'll be right back here on the Jim Dunzing Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours, as we begin the broadcast day here on Freedomizer Radio. This one here goes out to this one goes out to every single American who is simply hoping for a little bit of change in 4 years.
And carry me home to see my kin. I hope them Kenyans will forgive us for sending Obama back to them. Oh, yes, we can. And I heard the songbird running down. I hope so Toro will remember. Real Americans don't need him around anyhow. Sweet home Mombasa, where the skies are so blue. Sweet home Mombasa, Lord, he's coming home to you. Mm-hmm. Halliburton blew the old red. And we all know that Cheney knew. Building 7, it still bothers me. So does that ocean full of crude. Now face the truth. Sweet home Mombasa, where the oceans are still blue. Sweet home Mombasa, Lord, he's coming home to you. Well, I'm militia, so I volunteer to load that whole damn boat myself with kegs and kegs of free bubble up. Survival tins of that rainbow stew. Obama in one canoe. Sweet home Mombasa, where the skies are so blue. Sweet home Mombasa, Lord, he's coming home to you. And welcome back to the Jim Dunzing Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours, as we begin the broadcast day here on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. It is open line Friday. The number to join us, 347-324-3704, as every open line Friday, not just that on the Ides of March. Any subject, your choice, straight to the top of the list, but you must press the one indicating you want to be in the host queue to stand out above the crowd and have your call taken. There's a story here out of California, which, here it is. Many of you have probably by now already come across, for it broke late Tuesday afternoon, actually late Tuesday evening. I believe these are times listed in Byzantium time, at about 10 p.m. Byzantium time. California, I haven't watched CNN or MSNBC or Fox News, but I'm sure they've covered this in, well, maybe not, in great detail. California seizes, not to seize, not planning to seize, not making preparations to seize, not registering people so seizing is easier, but California is seizing guns, and owners lose their right to keep and bear arms. Here's a picture with the pretty yellow letters right across, just above the thoracic cavity. California Department of Justice police agents walk towards a house near Ontario, California, on Tuesday, March 5th, 2013. The agents, the story broke just on the 12th and late on the 12th, the agents working for the only state-level program to confiscate illegal firearms from owners targeted people who once legally purchased firearms and then subsequently supposedly, quote-unquote, lost the right after being convicted of violent crimes, committed to mental institutions, or hit with restraining orders. Wearing bulletproof vests and carrying 40 caliber Glock pistols, nine California Justice Department agents assembled outside a ranch-style house in a suburb east of Los Angeles. They were looking for a gun owner who recently spent two days in a mental hospital. They knocked on the door and asked to come in. About 45 minutes later, they came away peacefully
with 3-0 firearms. That's not peacefully. The fact that there weren't people killed doesn't mean it was done peacefully. Peacefully implies not just nonviolence, but the presence of justice. Walking in at a heavily armed team and taking 3 guns from somebody without them fighting back doesn't necessarily mean it was peaceful. There was definitely force implied by sending 9 armed police agents to one house. California, the article continues, is the only state that tracks and disarms people with legally registered guns who have lost the right to own them, according to Attorney General Kamala Harris. Almost 20,000 gun owners in the state are prohibited from possessing firearms, including convicted felons, those under a domestic violence restraining order, or deemed mentally unstable. What do we do about the guns that are already in the hands of persons who, by law, are considered too dangerous to possess them? Harris said in a letter to Vice President Joe Biden after a Connecticut school shooting in December left 26 dead. The same school shooting here on Bloomberg.com, where the murder weapon has yet to be found, but many suspect it is to be found in the hands of that SWAT officer from a neighboring region who was armed, according to local papers, was armed and seen running away from a school where shots were being fired. Even that childless grandpa fellow who took the kids in to have them play with their the stuffed animals, even he tried to do something. That SWAT agent, even if he only had his bare hands, if he really wanted to call himself a SWAT agent, would have run into that building to save the lives of those children with his training, regardless of what weaponry he may have had nearby at the moment. This one running away from a school, armed, some believe, with an AR-15 style, perhaps an M4 style rifle. Anyway, in this letter, where this hoplophobe is writing to another hoplophobe and mentioning this false flag school shooting, the Attorney General of California recommended that Biden, who is heading a White House review of gun policy, consider California as a national model. With Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in at the top of the gun control effort there in Feinstein, they probably already considered that advice. We'll be right back here on the Jim Dunzing Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours, as we begin the broadcast day here on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. We'll be right back with the important announcement I promised you a show or two ago here on Open Line Friday, the Ides of March, on the Jim Dunzing Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours. This one goes out to every one of you people out there who are considering, no matter what your level of body armor, no matter what your level of weaponry, who are considering violating the constitutional rights of the American people. And welcome back to the Jim Dunzing Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours, as we begin the broadcast day here on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. It's open line Friday. In the last 10 minutes of the show, the number to call is 347-324-3704. Well, the important announcement, I promised, I told you, you will not want to miss this show. I can't think of a more important political announcement than the one that I'm about to make. Jim Dunzing is running, and by all prognosticators, likely to be the next at-large member of the Nevada Libertarian Party's Executive Committee. That's right, I'm announcing it here right now today. You are hearing it first on Freedomizer Radio, that I am running, throwing my hat back into the political arena. Those of you who have followed this show for some time know that I had been a long while ago, the chair of the Nevada Libertarian Party, back from around 2005 or 6 to around 2008 or 9, I was the chair of that organization. Since then, I have not held any position within any of those political parties or any political party. And I guess that's not true. I was technically assistant precinct manager with the Ron Paul effort. So I did have some party position at some point. Since I have left the Libertarian Party, by all accounts, even the people who were very opposed to my presence there at the time, by all accounts now, there is a complete 100% consensus that things were far better off during what was then called my reign of terror than they are under the current administration. When I left the party, 90%+ of the state had active local affiliates. That was Clark County, which is about 70% of the population base, Nye County, which is the county neighboring Clark and has another good amount of people in it, most of whom commute from Pahrump to Vegas, and also including the capital region, which was one region comprised of three counties, Douglas County, Carson City, and Washoe County, three contiguous counties up there in the north, which created an affiliate large enough to, in at least some way, rival that of Clark County. As those local affiliates began gaining members by decreasing the cost of participation, basically by reducing dues to $10 from what had been the standard $50, through a competitive bylaws arrangement, which encouraged membership growth. At some point, those agoraphobes on the executive committee, the state executive committee, who are still there, decided that all of these new people were a threat to their power base. Now, mind you, there's currently 30 to 35 members of the Libertarian, dues-paying official members who can vote in the convention, 35 people. This being done by those who head this executive committee to keep the message and the party strong and keep the, in their words, crazies out. Although it seems rather crazy to me to build a wall around a party of 30 people that needs mass support in order to get any of its principles adopted. Mass support. They're building walls and increasing the cost of participation. When they abolished all the affiliates some time ago, right before actually the Ron Paul effort, abolished all the affiliates under some pretext. What it really came down to was myself and the chair of the Nye County Libertarian Party, I was vice chair at the time, got on television, and both statewide television and local Pahrump television, and advertised our event in honor of Martin Luther King on his birthday. This would have been about 3 years ago now. And that message of not only Martin Luther King's message of peace, tolerance, and freedom, they didn't like the way that was presented because we were gaining members who would come and vote them out. And so they voted to abolish, six people voted to abolish all the active affiliates. When they did that, the membership, because of the way the bylaws were written, the membership changed from roughly $10 a piece for the people who regularly went to meetings, which they spent more getting to the meetings than that. It went from that $10 to $50. And get this, when they raised the participation tax, revenues decreased as well as participation. At any rate, we're running out of time here. The long and short of it is, I have not found yet a candidate for chair of this organization amongst those who have announced that I think would do a good job that I can support. I'm still hoping some of those details shake themselves out here, and we have more people running, or at least someone running for chair that would be befitting that title, that I could throw my support behind. But nevertheless, I am running for the at-large member of the Libertarian Party Executive Committee here in Nevada. And join us here Monday for yet more opinions so good they ought to be yours as we begin the broadcast day here on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. Until then, keep your powder dry.
Too many people in America fear their government, and the government is being run by too many powerful agencies like the IRS and others. I think it's time the people take the country back through their representative government.
I had to move early and get settled, so I'm a little discombobulated this morning. have the furnace on out there in California?
No, heavens no. It's really hot out here.
That's what I mean. The outdoor furnace is on.
It must be.
Here we're freezing cold and we got the furnace on inside, but you got the furnace on outside.
Oh, I'm telling you, I lost my hyacinth just one day at my son's house without enough water. Well, it wasn't even that. It was just in a clay pot, and it dried up in one day, poor thing.
So how warm have you been? 70 degrees?
Oh, no. No, it was over 85.
Oh, my God, you poor people.
I know. It's disgusting, isn't it?
That's nothing to complain about. But, you know, we wait for spring to come and summer to come, and then when we come, we complain. When winter's here, we complain. People are just normal complainers when it's not the way they want it.
I guess so. But we have little bit of a weather report here from Southern California and Wisconsin. For those of you who don't know the huge disparity here in the United States for differences in temperature this time of year, I couldn't believe it. It's in March, and I shouldn't have to be concerned about the plants for one day.
Right. Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah, that's sad. But that's the way it is. Well, we didn't get a chance this morning.
We're supposed to have a snowstorm coming in tonight, but they haven't said how many inches because they're always usually wrong. So this time they decided to stand back and wait and see.
I try not to listen to the weather reports at all because I like to be surprised.
Well, if you don't have to go out in it, it's great. And if you have to go out in it, then it's a little bit different. But, you know, I just like to hear it so that I listen to people complain, especially my Bill. He loves to complain about the weather. So,
well, there's only so much you can do about it, which is basically just adjust your behavior. And I figure I can do that on the fly.
And to be honest, I'd rather hear about the weather than about his aches and pains. So,
well, yeah, I know. That's pretty much what happens, isn't it?
Yep. So what do we got going for today, Missy?
Well, you know, with 4 and 5 year olds under my feet for the last 4 days, refrigerator problems. Turns out it was a good thing. It was only a battery issue.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So I was happy about that. But I haven't had a whole lot of time to prepare anything today. And I'm having a terrible time keeping a solid internet connection this morning. So I'm struggling a little bit here.
Okay. Well, is there anybody out there that would like to hear or talk about something that they really feel is close to their heart that they need to bring up or they want more information on? Because if you do, you know, call in or type in or whatever you do on those computers and let us know.
Exactly. Well, we have our call-in number. It's 347-324-3704. And we would love to hear from you this morning. We've had a couple of really interesting topics of late, and it would just be great to have some audience participation and let us know what's going on in your neck of the woods. What kind of news is up in your face today that you'd like to share? My son came to me last night, and he was saying, "So what do you think about this Sandy Hook thing?" I'm like, "Wow, that was kind of out of the blue."
Mm-hmm.
I felt that, you know, that thing that's been, it's kind of been beat up a lot over the, it's been, I don't know, our world has been pretty saturated with that news for the past few months, it seems. And I can't believe that people are still talking about it.
Yeah, we're being saturated with a lot of things right now. It's amazing what's going on in the world.
Now, you had talked to me a little bit about something yesterday, and I was thinking, well, that would be a great thing to share with the audience, and now I can't remember exactly what it was.
We talk, you know, when you and I are together, we talk about so many things and so many things happening. We were talking about dyes yesterday and about yellow dye 5 and 6, I think it is, or whatever, and how they're all made out of petrochemicals, and how all the dyes are made out of petrochemicals, and why do they make them out of petrochemicals? Because it's cheaper. And because most corporations and companies are into the bottom line, in other words, how much money they make, and any way they can cut corners to make more money, that's the main objective. It's not about the health or not about looking out for you and I. And so they were talking about up in the UK how with a lot of people like to eat macaroni and cheese, and the Kraft company in the United States uses dye or petrochemicals in our Kraft macaroni cheese, but up in the UK, they use natural stuff, and what they use was, I'm trying to remember what I told you yesterday. It was very interesting.
Paprika was one of them.
Paprika and something else that was more yellow. I'm trying to think what it was, and it was a natural.
I don't know what the flavor is, because I don't use it as a spice.
Yeah. Anyways, they use two natural substances to make the macaroni and cheese, and so they actually showed the box from the UK, showed the box from the United States, made both macaroni cheeses. Dr. Oz tasted both of them, and the one actually had more shiny, more alive, more energy to it, actually, and it was tastier, and it was made out of the natural stuff, and there was a guest speaker there, and he said the reason they don't, let's say if they have to come up with the color blue instead of using blueberries, which would be expensive, it's easier to come up with the petrochemicals, but how it affects children and how the evidence is very, very strong on ADHD children, and if you take away the dyes, how much different they act and how much calmer they are and how much more relaxed and how it doesn't affect them emotionally and mentally and their temper tantrums and everything else. And, you know, people have known it for years, but, you know, our country is not out looking for those things. Another thing they discussed is about the fake labeling that's on things. If something says all natural, it really is not. It's just a word that a lot of people say, like, have a good day. Whether it's raining out or sunny out, they're just saying have a good day. And so it means nothing. And then when they talked about range-free, they said, let's say, for example, animals might be considered range-free, but it doesn't mean that they can go outside the barn or that they ever get to go out in the sunshine or they get to wander in and out of the barn and come back in. It just means they have the option to do it, but whether they ever do it or not, nobody checks on it to see if they're really doing it. And if they say something is cage-free, they might open the door to the cage, but maybe the chickens are afraid to come out of the cage because there's dogs around or something. And yet if they can come out of the cage, maybe they're up to their knees in manure. And so you can say they're cage-free, but it doesn't mean necessarily that they're going out picking up the gravel and in the grass and they're doing these things. The only ones that you could really rely upon if it was 100% organic, and it usually has an organic sticker proving that it's organic by the USDA and it's been approved. And also the other one was range or grass-fed beef or grass-fed animals, you know, if it's saying it's grass-fed, they actually have to be out grazing in the grass, and then they have an approval sticker on it.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to add a little bit to the food coloring issue, the synthetic dyes being the petrochemical. When you look at your labels, it'll say food coloring, color added, U.S. certified color, and sometimes you'll see a number like FD&C yellow number 5 or D&C color. And I wanted to share a little bit about what the differences of those things are. FD&C stands for food, drugs, and cosmetics. These colors are made from coal tar or petrochemical derivatives. Some dyes are allowed in drugs and cosmetics that are considered too toxic and unsafe in food. These are the D&C colors. The logic is that they're used in smaller amounts. Okay, so a little bit of poison. The obvious dilemma is that these substances are being used by sick people who might be made sicker by a very small amount. So it's really important to check your labels and, you know, avoid these petrochemical colors. And I use my family as an example. You know, I go to their house and there's things like fruit snacks. These great, I mean, they're the colors of these fruit snacks are intense. And, you know, I know just from making jams and jellies that, you know, you have to use pure grape juice to get good colored grape jelly, not watered down this or that, you know. So I know that these colors are not, they're not natural. And it's pretty scary. One thing that is found is that these artificial colors contain a lot of heavy metals. Okay, so just to give you a little bit of an example here, the FDA regulates red number 40 in what's called the Code of Federal Regulations, Title 21, and here's the actual law. So they're identifying it. The color red is principally disodium salt of, and then there's this great big long, you know, explanation. Color additive mixtures for food use may contain these dilutants that are suitable, and they're listed as safe, but they cause allergic reactions in a lot of people. And, you know, here's a really interesting thing. You know, when we talk about, you know, people that have allergies, my daughter-in-law just found out that she is, she has problems with gluten. And she's removed, she removed the gluten from her diet for a period of, you know, a week or 2 weeks. And for the first time in several years, she was able to, she had her sense of smell back and her sense of taste. Now, I know vitamin and mineral deficiency in people that have problems with gluten?
Yes, absolutely. And also, she might be lacking in hydrochloric acid in her digestive system. And the reason she might not be able to stomach carbs and with gluten in especially is because of maybe diet, maybe not having enough enzymes or probiotics in the diet. and also the elimination system might not be working properly. So, you know, it's a combination of a lot of things, maybe not drinking enough water to flush it through. But, you know, wheat or corn products or soy products or cotton, cotton seed or whatever it is, cotton flour, all those things are having a major effect in our digestive systems. And a lot of people are finding it very, very difficult to take certain carbs into their body, you know. But, you know, I mean, this is, how many people know about GMOs? There's hardly any, believe it or not, yet it's getting out there. But we've been plagued with GMOs since about 95. So now the point is, like I said, I only learned about it 6 months ago. And, you know, you could have been eating GMO products for 15 years and had no idea you were eating it. And it's not that, you know, we're thinking it and now we're creating a negative reality in our body. So our body then takes on this negative energy. It's just that even if you've been drinking water with fluoride for years and you find out that it's rat poison, are you going to make a change? You know, and like that one young lady that was on the one day, she said she was into the dentist and doing teeth and stuff, and she found out about fluoride, and it just upset her very much because her occupation was, you know, maybe pushing fluoride tablets for people in a dentist's office, you know, or whatever the case. And there is a natural fluoride, but we all know the kind of fluoride that's put into the water is not the good fluoride, you know.
No, it's not. No, and I had a couple of things here that I wanted to share, and I'm having a little trouble pulling them up for you, so I apologize for that. Well, I did not take a commercial break at the top of the hour, so I'm going to do that.
Okay.
Since we had some difficulties here with the computer, I was struggling to get on at all to start the show, and so I didn't take a commercial break at the top of the hour. So I'd like to do that.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Okay. Well, we'll be back in a few minutes. Thank you all for tuning in to Freedomize the Radio, and we appreciate you being here. Connections are available.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available, committed to buying only from the growers when they can, and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam express essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Slow going.
Hello.
Are you there?
Well, I've played a commercial, but it hasn't started playing yet. My computer is sitting here spinning around, so it may or may not decide to play at any moment.
Well, I just wanted to let you know, since you had that commercial about the botanicals, years ago I had got some of their products, and it's just awesome. But one of the things that I got from one of their individual was a book. It was called The Quick Check Glossary of Suspected Ingredients in Personal Care Products. And I'll tell you, it was the best book I had ever gotten because of the fact that you could look up on the back of any product, let's say if you're going grocery shopping and they would have a name, you could look it up and see exactly what that was, because if you found out what it was, then it would help you. And it says your personal care product label guide. And it was quick, convenient, informative, and it had a lot of really, really good information. And I just thought I would mention it to you that I had gotten this book, and you could flip open to almost anything and look things up and see what it came from or what it is in it. And when you start realizing that almost a lot of the stuff that you might not even know what it is, when you start reading about it, it's just amazing what's out there and what's put into our foods.
That's, it's a little quick reference guide?
Yes, it is.
Okay. What's the name of it again?
It's called The Quick Check Glossary of Suspected Ingredients in Personal Care Products. And let me see here. I'm wondering if they have the name of the company or.
That would be helpful.
Yeah, they have to. I'd have to look because there's so much in here. But just look like FENC color pigments, and it tells you a little bit what's all in there and what it's all made out of. And, you know, like fluoride is a byproduct of phosphate fertilizer and aluminum industrialness, and more toxic than lead and only slightly less so than arsenic, and has been found to contain traces of mercury, radiation, lead, and arsenic. Yale University studies establish connections between decreased bone strength and elasticity, highly corrosive, toxic, and poisonous. Fluoride requires the bearing of a poison control warning label. If it inhibits enzyme activity in your digestive system and disrupts and reconfigures molecule bonds in your body, study shows it's a carcinogen, you know, used in manufacturing pesticides and psychotic drugs. You know, so it goes on and on and on and tells you what it's all about.
Excellent. What would be really nice if people had a telephone app for doing the same thing. And I'm wondering if there is one out there. I'm going to do some checking when I have a better internet connection and see if I can find that.
Well, there's a thing here. It says, fight for health care without harm. And it's www.noharm.org. Now, this book is about 10 years old, so whether it's still out there or not. There's another one called Fight for the CARES, and there's a period after each one, Fight for the CARES. And it's Chemical Awareness Research Education Solutions Foundation, highly recommended, and it's called www.toxicfree.org.
Okay. Those are always helpful. You know, as you were mentioning the fluoride issue, fluoride has been labeled a nutrient by water fluoridation advocates, yet in California, fluorides of all kinds are categorized as hazardous waste. Now, how can a fluoride be a nutrient and a hazardous waste at the same time? fluoride classified as hazardous waste by California law. The California Code of Regulations, Title 22, blah, 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 lists 791 chemicals as hazardous waste and hazardous materials. At least 39 of these are fluoride components. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency also classified fluorides as contaminants. And then there's a list of the 39, it looks like 39, different names of fluoride that are, or different types of fluoride that are listed as hazardous waste. This is the part that just confuses me. I don't understand how that could possibly be. It's a nutrient and it's a hazardous waste.
Yep.
So
and it says it in here, it causes moting or brown spots on the teeth. The New York Journal of Medicine and the Journal of American Medical Association studies link fluoride with osteoporosis. Other studies link fluoride to bone cancer. The physician's desk reference says that fluorides occasionally cause skin eruptions such as dermatitis, eczema, gastric distress in the digestive system, headaches, and weakness. Past president of the AMA, Dr. Charles Gordon Hyde, said fluoride is a corrosive poison that will produce serious side effects, especially on a long-range basis. Nobel Prize winner and microbiologist Professor Albert Katz, a PhD, says fluoride is the greatest fraud that has ever been penetrated. So now, you know, yeah, let's have a serving tonight.
And, you know, what's really frustrating is that people are, you know, not paying attention. I was in the drugstore with my neighbor. I had just I was driving her around since Gene is in the nursing facility for a while. His wife doesn't drive, and I was kind of, you know, lending a hand and driving her around town. And we had to go to the pharmacy. She was looking for a particular toothpaste. Excuse me, had to yawn. And what was very interesting is that I was looking for toothpaste that didn't have fluoride in it. And what was very disturbing to me is that Toms of Maine is one of the toothpaste. It's the toothpaste that I use. One of the toothpastes I use. Because I have this lovely toothpaste from Young Living Oils that my friend sent me that I use as well. And what was disturbing to me is that the adult toothpaste of Toms of Maine did not contain fluoride, but Toms have a children's toothpaste that contains fluoride. I don't understand that. I have to give them a call and talk to somebody about that, because I think that's completely wrong. Why?
Well, because that's the way manufacturers look at, like, mineral oil or baby oil. It's 100% mineral oil as a commonly used petrochemical ingredient. Mineral oil coats the skin just like a plastic wrap. The skin's natural immune barrier is totally disrupted as this plastic coating inhibits its ability to let the skin breathe and absorb the natural moisture factor. As the largest organ of elimination, the skin's ability to release toxins is impeded by this plastic wrap, which can promote acne and other rashes and skin disorders. This process slows down skin function and normal cell development, causing the skin to age prematurely. The myth is that mineral oil is beneficial for you as a moisturizer. The fact is, an oil manufactured from crude oil, it is a mixture of liquid, hydrocarbons separated from petroleum. Dr. T.G. Randall, an allergist, has found that this and many other cosmetic chemicals cause petrochemical hypersensitivity. The allergic reaction can become quite serious in time, leading to arthritis, migraines, hyperkinesis, epilepsy, and diabetes. Taken internally, mineral oil binds the fat cell, vitamin A, D, and E, and carries them unabsorbed out of the body. And although little mineral oil is able to penetrate the skin, this tendency is so dangerous that Adele Davis in Let's Eat Right to Keep Fit says that she personally would be afraid to use this oil even in baby oil, cold creams, and other cosmetics. So the fact is that mineral oil does not penetrate the skin well, makes it inappropriate for us in to absorb it into the skin, and yet it causes us to have rashes and all kinds of problems. And you can read on and on and on about it, but here we have these beautiful little babies with beautiful skin, and you're putting mineral oil on them.
Oh, my gosh.
It's amazing how residual our bodies really are and how much we do to them and how much damage. And sometimes it takes us till we are in our 50s and 60s to realize what we've been doing to our bodies all along, you know?
I know. I was thinking that the other day. It's amazing how much our bodies will actually go through and how much abuse they will take.
Yep, and how much we've abused the earth and the animals and everything else until we wake up and realize that we're all connected and how we're having effect on everything. You know, each and every one of us are accountable for throwing a wrapper on the ground and not picking it up, you know, or polluting or whatever. And until you realize it, then you make the change. And once you make the change, you know, it's more permanent. But, you know, it's like sometimes we get so overwhelmed with all these things that we're to the point where we wonder if we can breathe and live. But remember, prayer and thought and change, you know, take one thing at a time and make it a habit and work on things. The other day I went to the store looking for my olive oil after I found out the truth about olive oil. And, you know, out of about 20 bottles of olive oil on the shelf and looking at about 8 of them, none of them were pure olive oil. You could tell the label wasn't on there, you know, the date, you could tell the difference, and didn't matter what kind of bottle it was in. So I quit looking at prices. I just muscle tested, found one that was real, took it off the shelf. Of course, then I looked at it, and it had the label on it from the California Olive Oil Federation showing it was 100% pure. And I think it was Bertrattelli's. An Italian name, which I should have known. And, of course, it was probably the most expensive on the shelf. But I don't care because I want really good olive oil. I want olive oil that works with taking away inflammation, that works on my body, and that's good for my body. And even though I might not use a lot of it, if I'm going to make a salad out of it or use it for cooking or use it for taking internally, I want the best, and that's all there's to it, you know.
Well, and I've talked about this before, that it doesn't take as much of good product to satisfy your body, for your body to feel that satiation.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
Well, I've been trying to get into backstage here so that I can share with you other things that are going on at Freedomizer Radio. But my internet connection is pretty much non-existent today.
Well, I listen. listened to the crazy Canadian the other day, Tammy, up in Canada, that's on Monday and Wednesdays, and she's on at my time at 1 o'clock, and she's the expert on Morgellons, and she, of course, has Morgellons, and she is on a journey, and she is learning all kinds of stuff, but what was very interesting is people have to understand that each and every one of us are so much similar, but we are so much different. And, you know, when you're working with an individual, that's why all treatments have to be individualized. And I do not know, to be honest with you, how anybody can make a proper decision without spending hours and hours and hours into education if they don't know how to muscle test. And I am so thankful that I learned how to muscle test way back in the 80s, because by staying out of the thing and muscle testing for something or using a pendulum, I could always figure out from the universe by calling them in what was best for me, and also making a decision for myself, because just because something's good for somebody else doesn't make it good for me. And even though we might have the same symptoms, you could have 10 people with all the same symptoms, and yet they could all have totally different problems. And what I mean by that is, let's say everybody's got a headache, a migraine headache. So let's just use something as simple as a migraine. What is a migraine caused by? Well, you could have gotten whiplash from an automobile accident and you're out of alignment. So that might be one thing. Another thing, you might have allergies. And so when you eat something, you get a major headache because you have an allergic reaction. Another thing, you could be having heart problems, and there's a blockage in the neck, and because there's a blockage in neck, your head is throbbing. You could be because you're around electromagnetic fields, and the fields of electricity are affecting the brain because you're lacking in water and you're dehydrated. Maybe it's because you don't have enough oils in your body, and your nervous system, which goes to the brain, which works on the whole body, which goes down the spinal cord, maybe because there's not enough oil and fluids there, there's a narrowing of the passageway going down the back of the neck to the spinal cord, and as you move, the blood flow is not getting up and past the brain barrier to the brain, and so you've got a throbbing going on. Maybe you're worried and in fear about something and it's bothering you so bad that you're holding your breath and you're not breathing. Those are all different signs of a migraine headache, and yet there might be a whole lot more. Maybe you just took too many ibuprofen, or you're on a drug that your body just doesn't handle, and the side effects is migraines. So when you're working with a person, you know, you want to cover all the points. And so it takes time to really figure out what the cause is of a migraine headache and what area the cause is coming from. And a lot of times it is a process of elimination or testing or blood tests or maybe doing some adjustments or doing something a little bit different to be able to change the cause. And what's best is always to do is the simplest first, and if you have a change, then you know what it is, but if there is no good results, then that's not the cause. And, you know, temporarily when you got a migraine headache, all you want to do is get rid of it, and so, you know, maybe an essential oil or something will open the flow temporarily to help you get rid of it, but you really need to do your own research and pay attention, because I can't be following you all around. I can ask questions and kind of spur in things, but, you know, what if past the brain barrier you're getting plastic toxicity from water bottles? I mean, you know, are you going to take then an intestinal test that's going to check to see what's in your digestive system and, you know, take care of yourself and find out what's going on? And if you go to the doctor and request one, they might not really understand what the heck you're asking for, you know?
Right.
Right. I wanted to let people know on Christine Siegel's show today, Wake Up and Live. This is at 12 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. That's 2 o'clock your time, Cookie.
Okay.
As a guest, as a certified health coach and yoga instructor, they are going to discuss do-it-yourself home remedies, such as making your own cleaning products, beauty products with organic, all-natural ingredients. So I hope you all will tune in for that today.
That sounds good.
Yeah. And there's so many things that we can do, but it does take time, you know. And even this little switch that my son and his family are doing right now, my granddaughter has eczema. And one of the potential issues cow's milk issue. And so they've taken her off cow's milk for the last couple of weeks. And, you know, they're giving her soy milk, but, you know, okay. Soy milk and almond milk as a substitute. But it's a pain. You know, it's not the same reaching to the refrigerator and grab, you know, the gallon of milk, and because she doesn't really care for either one of those things. She doesn't like soy milk, and she doesn't really like the almond milk either. So it's okay, let's combine the two and add a little bit of other things to it to make it more palatable for her.
And see, if you can muscle test, she isn't having a problem with milk. And coconut milk would be better for her. It's depending on her blood type. And if she's A or AB, soy would be good as long as the GMOs aren't in it. But the thing is, the thing is if she's a type O blood type, O's are a little bit different. Like I said, coconut oil is always really good for them. But anytime you have a rash on the body, the first thing you need to look is the liver. And the liver is inflamed or angry, and it's coming out through the skin because there's a toxin or poison that's gotten into her liver. So the first thing you need to do is look at that river that's flowing that you're going to have your program on. Because what goes from the mouth to the rear end, and especially on a child, it's usually something they're eating and it's affecting their digestive and elimination system. And because the filtration system is the liver is the first organ that is on the line of filtration systems. If she's eating fats, of course, it's the gallbladder. If she's eating sugars, it's the pancreas. But she's having liver problems, and liver is where the chemicals and the hormones and everything gets filtered through. So, you know, you want to look at the liver, and, you know, there's a thing with, once again, with the dyes and, artificial flavoring and, sugars and, you know, what is in her food and what is she eating, you know, and what is coming through. If you can muscle test food, then you can say, yeah, this is good for you to eat. No, this one isn't good for you to eat. Yes, this one's good for you to eat. Let's make this for you. And, you know, then if you get her on a diet of all the things that are good for her, eventually the liver is going to clean out and the skin's going to clear up, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a huge difference, with Wendy being finding out that she's allergic to gluten and her making these adjustments in her diet and seeing the changes that she's able to accomplish in just a short period of time. It's a learning process for them. But
right.
She hasn't gone through and made a whole lot of changes in their diet because now she's going to have to cook differently for herself, which is going to be a big inconvenience.
Yep, but I know that when I changed everything for one child, which was my hyperactive ADD, ADHD child that was having night terrors,
we decided to go on that Dr. Fingal diet, and it was all fresh fruits and vegetables, and, you know, we pretty much had organic meats and stuff. But, you know, I had two grandmas that I took care of, my husband's mother and the great-grandma, and both of them, one was a borderline diabetic, one was a diabetic, and the other children, you know, just followed suit. And when whatever I made was always natural, and it just benefited everybody, you know. But it would be so nice if we had some listener out there, and maybe there is a machine out there. People, you know, don't want to take the time out to learn the muscle test, and sometimes they don't trust their judgment, and sometimes they don't believe they can do it, and sometimes they get in the way and all this other stuff. But wouldn't it be wonderful if they could make just a little machine that wouldn't cost very much, maybe $20-$30, that you could put your palm in, your right, your left palm, and then you could put the product that you want to eat, like, on a little brass plate, and there was a gauge on there that either says, yes, this is good for you, or no, this is not good for you, or how good this is on a scale of 1 to 10, or how bad this is for you, so that everything you could put on that plate to the point where each person could figure out what's good for them or not good for them, or what their body needs or what their body doesn't need, on a machine that maybe runs on batteries or plugs in or something. And then that way you could stick to a diet for a couple weeks with the individuals, and then that way everybody would be eating properly, and if there's something in there that's not good for you, it would ring a bell or something. I mean, why can't somebody come up with this idea that's very mechanical and very much something simple, you know, that if there's toxins and poisons or worms or parasites or something in here, that I can test it, and I'm going to trust this gauge because this gauge is going to tell me the truth.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, I think somebody should come up with that idea and make billions and you know, I'll buy one, you know, just for the fun of it, just to have fun with it, you know?
Uh-huh.
But, like, even for dinner last night, I made myself a cabbage salad with, Wardorfeld, with apples and dried fruit and nuts. And I didn't soak your nuts, by the way. I didn't have time to, but I was going to. But now for Mr. Bill likes other things. So he had fresh cucumbers with onions, and he likes radishes. So I ground them up and put some little baby tomatoes in there and made him and vinegar, you know, and stuff, and made him a nice little cucumber salad because that's the kind of thing he likes. And, you know, the thing is, each of us like to eat a little bit differently. But, you know, I'm a cabbage person, and I'll eat raw cabbage, but I don't really care for sauerkraut. I don't like my cabbage cooked. You know? And I like cucumbers, but I don't like pickles. So everybody's different, you know, and it's not that we don't eat the same foods. It's just that he likes things that are more fermented. I like things more in the natural state, you know. And I have a real thing. I like raw everything, you know. I even like raw beans.
You like raw beans? Well, I don't care for raw beans.
Well, I guess because I used to pick them out of the garden and we'd eat them raw when we were kids, you know.
Mm-hmm. Goodness. Do you have a proclamation for us today, Cookie?
No, but I could get one for us.
Okay.
And I know we've just been kind of yabbering today, but I just, you know, thought I would mention that maybe somebody out there could come up, or maybe they can find a little machine. We're not talking about one that costs thousands of dollars or this or that, just a little battery-operated machine with a gauge on that, you know, would tell you if something's positive energy or negative energy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you've put the word out there into the universe, Cookie, and that's the first step.
Okay, well, let's do that. Well, let's work on transmuting environmental energies, okay?
Okay, that sounds good.
From the divine love that flows within my being, I proclaim my divine light, my light of love, my light of healing, my light of protection, my light of power and wisdom, becoming a permanent part of every molecule of the material I hold in my tent that resonates at the highest frequency of unconditional love, so be it. And we're talking about all food substances and anything that would be for my best and highest good by removing toxins, poisons, chemicals, GMOs, fungus, mold, dyes, artificial flavoring, coloring, anything that we can transmute into unconditional love. We thank you for this, so be it. Amen.
Amen. Excellent. Well, let's see. I've been trying to get into our, since we didn't get to have a commercial break, I'm going to wing our commercial break. So I hope everyone will come to freedomizerradio.com and check out our affiliate banners. And check out our sponsors' banners. They are surrounding the chat room in little banners. And if you click on those and purchase products or even share those links with someone else, it supports Freedomizer Radio and the programming that you have here. Sorry that our we're a little bit willy-nilly today, but we'll be back on track tomorrow. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in today. Looks like, okay, here, I'll be able to get some of it up. We have our new program on Thursdays with Alan Phillips and Debbie Brooks, Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. and Homeopathy World. That's at 10 o'clock Pacific Standard Time and 12 o'clock Central Time. And that's on Thursday, so I hope you'll tune in. They have wonderful information, very, very knowledgeable people, and they are open for questions, so please feel free to call in. Liquid Butterfly.
What time was that again?
10 o'clock in the morning, Pacific Standard Time on Thursday. And that's
okay.
noon your time.
Okay, thank you.
Central. Uh-huh. And Liquid Butterfly is being hosted by Elena Skywing. That's on Sundays at 7:30 Pacific Standard Time. And also one of our newest shows, Judy Morris with Liberty Calling. She wishes to engage listeners in advancing liberty through information, education, and activism, living free in an unfree world and working to restore freedom is the driving force behind the Liberty Calling program. Judy has been a Facebook friend of mine since the very beginning of me getting on Facebook, and she is very dedicated in her research and just love to have her here with us. Okay, so I think we're basically out. We've actually got callers, so let's take a couple callers before we run out of time.
Okay.
Area code 618. You're on here.
Yes, I think cookies should just consider nuts, seeds, vegetables, and fruit, and she can't go wrong.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you.
Very good. Very good. Thank you very much. And caller from area code 718.
More than a machine, I think to look for a practitioner who has a track record of helping, whether it's through muscle testing, intuitiveness, experience, because plenty of people have tried pendulum, and for the same question, they get different answers. I know someone who has an expensive biofeedback machine. He's a practitioner years, and he has helped people. I would be more interested in that, because the machines, even the expensive machines, don't always have the best feedback from people who have used them, and people have returned them, or they just have it around, but they don't end up using it anymore. That's the feedback that I've received through different experiences with different people in different situations.
Aaron, that all sounds good, but we're trying to empower people so that when they're making their evening meal or their lunch or their breakfast for a family of, let's say, six people, that each individual is getting the minerals, vitamins, amino acids that they need, and yet some of them may have an allergic reaction until they build up that resistance to certain foods. So because of it, instead of them letting them have an allergic reaction or inflammation, maybe they need to eat more nuts, seeds, like the gentleman just said, or more roughage in their diet or something on those things. And yet if by doing that for a week or two, then all of a sudden their allergen disappears. And a lot of people with a lot of children or family, they might not be able to afford to go to a practitioner. And yes, it would be nice if everybody had lots and lots of money and could sit maybe for 3 or 4 hours at a practitioner and figure out all what they need and what they got to go through. But we were kind of talking more, Aaron, on the fact that wouldn't it be learning to muscle test is to help you as the individual make good decisions for yourself. And yet, even if something looks good to us, we might eat it. For example, I love tomatoes. But when I eat tomatoes, I break out with a rash in my mouth. And the only way I can really eat tomatoes is to cook them. And when I cook them, I love them cooked. But the thing is, raw tomatoes would be much better. And it's just too much acid for me for some reason. Now, can I eat other things with acid in, like oranges and tangerines and grapefruit? Sure. And those don't bother me, but there's something in tomatoes that do have an effect on me. And can I eat some? I can eat a couple, but I can't eat it like an apple because it's just too much for me for some reason. It's too acidic for me. And so the thing is, everybody's a little bit different. Now, does that mean I'm lacking in something? Could be. Maybe I need more acid in my stomach and it breaks down the acid, or maybe something a little bit different. But, you know, whatever the case is, Aaron, what we were kind of talking about is it'd be wonderful if you find a little machine that wouldn't cost too much, that an individual, if they didn't know how to muscle test or use a pendulum, or they couldn't determine if something was good for them or not good for them, they could actually figure it out.
In the meantime, I think the best we could do before we find that $10, $15 machine is, while eating, there's something called that little voice, the inner voice, that tells you, I had enough. If people, or I'm eating too fast, I'm gouging. If people would just listen to that first thought, that subtle thought, they would put down, they would put away what they're eating, and that is part of it. People are eating too fast, too much, too late in the day when they don't really feel hungry, or sometimes they eat when they're really thirsty. Or they, in other words, there's a lot that a person could do if they would just listen to their if they be disciplined. It's obvious, but in other words, you're talking about muscle testing and a machine. A lot of this is listening to that inner voice and then following up.
Aaron, thanks a lot, but we've got to sign off. We've got another host coming up at 11 o'clock, so we need to take off. Thanks so much, everyone. God bless.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks, Cookie. I appreciate you very much. You may have a moment of silence here while our new host signs in. I apologize for that, but I have no computer control. So God bless everyone and take care.
Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
It's Feline Fury time.
The way somebody looks does not give anybody the right or the authority to violate another human being. Unfortunately, there are people who have have had loved ones who have been murdered, and the indoctrination runs so deep about the need to obey our masters that when one of these masters kills a loved one, they will go as far as to make excuses.
Cook's husband doesn't understand why an officer would shoot his unarmed wife.
Personally, I think it may be an overreaction, maybe excessive force, but I can only surmise that.
After how appalling I felt that it was that this happened to this Sunday school teacher that didn't have a weapon, that she was shot 6 times, I knew it was bound to hit Maine America, because it's been happening in the African-American community all the time.
The violence of statism knows no boundaries. It's colorblind, it's genderblind, it's even handicapblind, it's ageblind. It doesn't matter.
Cops are the only people in society that have permission to go around killing unarmed people preemptively because they're scared of them, because of officer safety. No other profession in our nation, including our soldiers that fight overseas, are allowed to go around killing civilians because they're scared of them. We have postmen who go to houses every single day and get bit all the time. We don't go around shooting dogs. The cops in this country are cowards. Shoot people who are innocent because they're afraid of them, or at least they say that. They shoot dogs that are innocent because they are afraid of them all the time. It's disgusting. And very few cops actually fight real crime, because very few cops are willing to go out after the criminal cops who are destroying people's lives. So I want to stop hearing the refrain that cops are heroes, and I want to hear the refrain from most people in society that cops are cowards.
Feline Fury Time.
Good morning, freedomizers and friends, and even foe. Thank you for tuning in to Tiger Lily's Freedom Roar. I'm going to be your show host, Tiger Lily, for the next hour on freedomizerradio.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. My show is prepared to talk about a few things that have been going on over the last week. As most of you know who know me, I'm a staunch advocate for liberty, justice, and just virtue. And I've had to redefine what virtue means. And, you know, when we're born, we're told that virtue is obeying our parents and don't push, don't shove, don't steal. So basically it boils down to two things: respect for property rights, and the non-initiation of aggression or force. So what we have in this world, and not just in the United States, is a lot of force against people. And right now, I'm located in Nevada, and as I speak, there are lawmakers that were elected that are trying their hardest to chip away at our liberties. This idea that we need to go back to the Constitution is absolutely wrong, and I can prove it. For starters, the founders, they did do a great, you know, they were very literate, knowledgeable, philosophical people. Some of them were religious, some of them were really pretty agnostic, actually, if you dig into their history. Half of them were slave owners, and that was okay back then because it was sanctioned in the Bible. And this country was founded by people who were based on Judeo, you know, had Judeo-Christian values. But the reality is that there is so much stuff in the Bible that contradicts the very basic human preferential behaviors of the non-initiation of aggression or force and the respect for property rights. let's talk about respect for property rights. That means from the very, very fundamental core principle of respect for property rights is that I own my body. You own your body. So I own my stuff, too. Anything that I worked hard for to obtain, I own it. So this idea that taxation is something for the good of civilization, for the good of the society, it's a social contract. Show me that contract. I didn't sign it. I believe that I, as well as the vast majority of people, inherently are good. I think everybody is born basically good, except for maybe the outlier person that might have is born with some kind of an organic brain disease or injury. So it's so crucial to use our skills as critical thinkers and break out, I beg you, everybody, to break out of this indoctrination of borders and government and elected officials and taxation. Taxation is just a euphemism for theft. Did you volunteer to give your taxes to the man, whether it's to the state or to the federal government? Did you? I would much rather be in control of my own money so that I can do the good that I want to do. And I think it's provable that human nature is inherently good, because look at the tsunamis and the earthquakes of the world in recent times. The whole world comes together and volunteers their time, their resources, their money, their energy to help out the man in need. But I'd like to talk today about a group of people who have tendencies not to be that way, not to be virtuous. And let's talk about why they're not virtuous. The group of people that are not virtuous, in my opinion, and based on a lot of research and based on a lot of personal experience that I've gotten over the last 2.5 years of being an activist, is we've got two basic types of people, the rulers and the ruled. And with the rulers is the drones that do the dirty work for the rulers. So every time a law is passed, just think of it as more power to the drones. The drones are what Stefan Molyneux, my favorite philosopher, and in my opinion, the best philosopher in the history of mankind. And he is alive today, and he's starting to get momentum. He's been doing this for 20 years. He's got 50 million downloads on his YouTube, on his website, freedomainradio.com, and he's got over 16, 17 million views on his YouTube channel alone. He's been instrumental in kind of enlightening me about this whole thing that we call government, the state, religion. And he breaks down virtue into the two universal principles that I just discussed. And he's got a free book, if you want to go to freedomainradio.com. He's got a free book called UPB, Universal Principles of Behavior. And you can even download that on audio, and it's free, because he believes in a voluntary society, and that's what he lives and breathes. And I admire that, because I don't live and breathe that yet, but I'm working hard towards that. There are things that I can't control. I can't control the taxation that I have to give, because if I do, men with guns will come at my door, and if I resist, I will be they call it arrested, but that's really just a quaint word for kidnapped. And if I dare to try to defend myself, then they will execute me. And they will do it all under the guise of officer safety. And this is literally legalized criminality. These drones, Stefan Molyneux calls them killbots. He's got a wonderful series of podcasts on his YouTube called The Death of the West. And in part three, he talks about killbots. I'm sure he made that word up. And a killbot is basically a soldier, a military person, somebody, a police officer, which we have close to a million police officers, oath-taking police officers in the United States. And instead of calling them police officers or military or something, there's too much emotional baggage, he argues. Too much emotional baggage to those words. Because we've been indoctrinated to believe that these are heroic people fighting for our liberties, fighting for our safety in the case of police officers. But the reality is that there is two set of standards for the ruled and for the rest of them, the rulers and the drones. So all of these laws that are being inflicted upon us in society, in the United States and everywhere in every country, laws are rules, actually opinions by lawyers. And it's nicer to say law than force. Because if you don't obey these laws and you're not one of them, then there will be consequences for you. And those consequences are fines, detainment, searches of your person, seizures of your person. Every time a police officer pulls me over because I wear controversial headgear while I'm riding my motorcycle, it may be legal, but they don't care. They care about enforcing the law. They don't care about whether the law is moral or immoral. There's a great sheriff that I have a ton of respect for him. His name is Sheriff Mack, and he is out of Arizona, and he tried to run for Congress in the U.S. and lost. But he's a constitutional guy, and, you know, libertarians and constitutionalists, they're a step in the right direction in the sense of liberty. But the reality is that there has never been a government that shrank or that stayed small without an enormous amount of bloodshed. And so we've been doing this government thing for 2,000 years already throughout our history. Not working. It's time to think about other things. For example, I have a bone to pick with a specific senator in Nevada, Senator Menendo. He double-crossed the motorcycle riding community, and I was really pissed off about it because I did a lot of work to try to help pass legislation to give motorcycle riders the choice of wearing a helmet or not. It's not that I don't want riders to wear helmets or not wear helmets. That's not the issue. The issue is that any law related to something like a helmet carries with it a gun. And that's what people don't understand. A lot of people tell me, well, yeah, I support your right for a choice whether you wear a helmet or not, but I'm always going to wear a helmet. Okay, well, fine. At least don't be a hypocrite. And be honest to recognize that your choice for wearing a helmet does not put a gun at your head. But my choice for my headgear, based on helmet laws, archaic, stupid helmet laws, of which only one-third of the states in the United States have, those laws are nothing but a gun pointed at my head for my choice. And I say this with a great deal of knowledge because I've been pulled over, I don't know, I've lost track maybe 11 to 13 times. I've had a few cops let me go. They're cops that have maybe, in one case, I think he kind of like, yeah, I get what you're doing. And, you know, what do you want? Do you want, what will help your cause better, to give you a ticket or not to give you a ticket? And I thought about it, and I said, give me a ticket. And I tried to disguise him, and I put him on YouTube. But the cops are, they're monitoring my YouTube. So what happened is that somebody alerted his boss. They recognized his voice. They recognized some of the things that he was saying. And even though I disguised and I said, you know, the names and locations are protected, are changed to protect the innocent, this killbot, this kind killbot, ended up having to get a lawyer to defend his job. He was going to be fired for giving me the option of whether or not I should have a helmet ticket. So even though there are some decent killbots that don't, you know, that may have a conscience, the vast, vast, vast majority of them are sociopaths. Let me show you, for example, this cop that rear-ended a biker. Let me have you listen to this. This happened in Las Vegas, and I just uploaded it on my YouTube channel, and I haven't checked to see how many hits it got, but like in the first 4 hours, it got like, I don't know, 70 hits or something. So I'm looking forward to seeing how many I've got. This motorcyclist had a recorder on his helmet, and he was on the strip, and there was a car that was trying to move in, and when he had his blinkers, and when you're in a motorcycle, you're pretty vulnerable. You have to be extra aware that somebody might be distracted, and you know, you have to, you know, it's life or death when you're on a motorcycle, and these are the risks that we motorcyclists take. And I, for one, accept responsibility for that risk, and I am well insured. My children are grown, my parents are dead, my husband, you know, is also retired and motorcycles with me. This is something that I choose to do because it's something that makes me feel good. So this killbot, a Las Vegas Police Department, Metro Police Department police officer, got behind this motorcyclist, and the motorcyclist kind of braked a little bit too fast because he wasn't sure what this other car was going to do. The car, you know, it was blinking like he wanted to get in front of them, and he was vacillating, and it made the motorcycle rider nervous. Well, in the meantime, this killbot had gotten behind this motorcyclist, and more than likely he was running his license plate. And he was distracted, the killbot was distracted, and he rear-ended the motorcyclist. Now, it was a gentle rear end. I mean, the young man, the motorcyclist, managed to keep his motorcycle upright. And, you know, if you or I would have rear-ended a motorcyclist, don't you think that we would have come out horrified and, you know, our first reaction would be, oh, my God, are you okay? Oh, my God, I'm sorry. Let's exchange insurance information. I should have been paying closer attention. I should have kept a better distance. I would have taken responsibility for rear-ending this motorcyclist. Now, isn't that a normal reaction from a normal person who has some sense of conscience and some sense of knowing what is virtuous versus a psychopath? Listen to how this cop treated the biker.
Yes, you always hit your brakes like that when somebody's changing a lane.
I'm sorry?
You always hit your brakes like that when somebody's changing a lane.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't. He was way up there. Getting this on film, because I am.
So, yeah.
Okay. I got your brake lights and they got the car clear up there.
Yeah, because I wasn't sure you saw me. You was coming in.
Yeah, because you're clear over on the white line.
Right.
Yeah.
For my safety.
Your brake lights on.
Right, you understand that, right? For my safety, so.
No, you stay up with traffic. That's what the thing is.
I
need you to hit your brakes right when somebody's behind you.
What?
Jesus Christ, you know that's against the law.
I wasn't aware that you were that close to me, sir.
I wasn't. I can't stop that goddamn fast when you hit your brakes.
Okay. I understand.
So what do we need?
What can we do?
What can we do?
Yeah.
I can write you a shitload of tickets.
Okay. How can I avoid that?
Well, just next time, just drive.
Yes,
normal.
Sir.
Normal.
Yes, sir.
Just drive normal.
Yes, sir.
We good?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. No problems.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay, have a nice night.
Okay, so the poor biker gets rear-ended. The killbot blames him and further verbally assaults him and threatens him with writing him a shitload of tickets. And the biker thanks him for not writing him a shitload of tickets. Now, these are the sociopaths that we are supposed to be honoring. These are the sociopaths that mainstream media glorifies every time they get killed on the job. And you know what? These sociopaths are attracted to these type of jobs, and they get paid for that job. So I don't feel sorry for any cop that gets killed on the job. I feel sorry for the victims of these freaking sociopathic, psychopathic killbots who have a license and the authority to do whatever the hell they want, and not only get away with it, but in those severe cases, like when they murder somebody in cold blood, like in the case of Eric Scott, the West Point graduate that was gunned down at a Las Vegas Costco by four killbots, not only do they get away with it, they get paid time off. Where is the outrage? Where is MSNBC, CBS, Fox News, ABC, where the hell are they? Freedomizers and friends, we need to wake up. We need to recognize the tyranny, the double standard, and we need to recognize its origins and study up. Don't just blindly obey the bullshit that you got in your indoctrination camp growing up as a kid. Oh, excuse me. Did I call it an indoctrination camp? I meant public school. Yes, in public schools run by public school teachers who have lots of power because of their unions, who can lobby campaign for the right officials who will do their dirty work, who will force us to have to pay our tax money to go to the name in the name of educating our children. What a lie that is. In fact, it was before public school systems began that the literacy rate in the U.S. was astronomically higher than what it is today. It was something like 90% of people could read in the United States compared to what? Like 50% now? Kids not graduating from high school? And these constitutionalists who say that we need to go back to the principles of our founding fathers, oh, my God, that's just not the way. We need, and people say, well, what you're advocating is anarchy. No. Or maybe yes, depending on how you would define anarchy. And Confucius said that the beginning of wisdom starts with understanding and recognizing the definition of words. So it's not that I object to rules. I think we need rules. There's nothing wrong with rules. I object to rulers. Rulers who use their kill bots to force me into submission, to steal my money and call it taxation, to mess with the fiat currency and not call it what its true name is, which is counterfeit, and stealing from the unborn. I object to the lies that were being spewed by these rulers. And I'm going to include these rulers, our teachers. We must obey, our children must obey these teachers. And to think that we supposedly have rights, let me tell you, if you're listening to this and you've ever, if you had a hard time believing when you were a kid that there was no such thing as Santa Claus, let me tell you, when you realize the truth to the following statement, you're going to go into a, I hope you don't go into a depression, because I went into a two-month hideout period, which is why I left Freedomizer Radio for a little while. But the reality is that there is no such thing as rights in America. No such thing. So if we go back to Confucius and we try to identify what the true name of these meaning of these words, what is a right? Okay. It's things that cannot be taken away. Where do you get them from? Okay, God. What makes them a right? Okay, well, it's things given to us by God that cannot be taken away. And I thought about that and I'm like, well, there's got to be something that I own. Because I know that if I were to own a house, and I don't own a house, frankly, nobody owns a house, a home. No ruled person owns a house. Because if you think you own your house, don't pay your taxes on it and see who really owns your house. So I'm thinking, what rights do I have? Okay, how about, you know, the right to bear arms? Hell no. We've never had the there's no such thing as gun control. I mean, and that's what we have. I mean, there's no such thing as how is it possible to say that you have the right to bear arms when most of the states, if you sport your gun, and I'm podcasting this, I'm going to stand up and show you my gun that I always have with me. It's a loaded 45 that can turn a kitten into hamburger, because I'm not messing around anymore. How many states can you go and actually sport a gun like this without being harassed by a cop? No state. I've been harassed for openly carrying a gun in a state that supposedly it is lawful to open carry a gun. Some states just flat, like Texas, they flat out say you can't open carry a gun. If you want a gun, you have to get a permission slip and you have to conceal it. So you have to hide your so-called Second Amendment right. How is it a right if it's unconditional, if it's given to you by God and it cannot be taken away? There's no such freaking thing as a right. And I was still in denial for months, and I thought, well, you know what? I have the right to think. Nobody could take my thoughts away. Guess what? Have you ever heard of ADD, ADHD? Do you know what happens to children in the school who get so bored with the silliness and the vile imprisonment that they have to submit themselves to? Do you know what happens to them when they get bored? They're labeled troublemakers, ADHD, ADD, and they're drugged. They are drugged to control their minds. I'm swatting at some you know, local legislators, and don't think for a moment that I am a, you know, I'm like Ross Perot. He used to say, just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean somebody isn't out to get me. So I'm watching my step, and I always carry my weapon, and I'm located somewhere, you know, not really in hiding, but you know, I'm aware of my, very, very aware of my surroundings. Unlike people who are messing with some of the policies of President Obama and are getting swiped away and sent to Guantanamo and tortured and killed and who knows what else they're doing to people who are exposing things that might offset the status quo. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm going to have to go to a commercial break right now. If you want to call in and be part of this discussion, when I get back, I want to talk a little bit about Chris Dorner, the cop killer, and some of the latest news on him, and you know, just to further illustrate the way that we have one set of rules for us and a completely set of rules for everybody else. The number to call in is area code 347-324-3704, and I'll be back in a few.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available, committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESP Botanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to FreedomizerRadio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on FreedomizerRadio.com.
It's Feline Fury Time.
Welcome back. This is Tiger Lily, your show host for the next half hour. If you're listening live, it is 11:35 a.m. Pacific Time on the 15th of March, 2013.
Thank you so much for tuning in. If you would like to be part of the discussion, the number to call in is 347-324-3704. I do see some lines that are tuning in on the telephone. So if you want to be part of the discussion, just be sure and press the 1 on your keypad so that I know that you want to talk. Otherwise, I'm going to have to assume that you just are listening. So I was talking about a lot of philosophical stuff and about the fact that we in America, or no one really in the United States or abroad or south of the border or north of the border, that we don't really have any rights. We are all slaves to somebody. We are beholding. If we don't toe the line, there are consequences for us. But here in the United States, the consequences are nearly non-existent for the rulers and the killbots that enforce their rules. And by rulers, I'm talking about our elected officials, but really they're just pawns, in my opinion. And, you know, it's a fact. I shouldn't even say it's my opinion. Many of them are pawns to the big money interests. Let me just take the helmet choice bill that is in Nevada just as an example. For example, in Nevada, as in one-third of the states, there is what's called a universal helmet law. And so if you don't wear this gigantic bulky thing that has a big old DOT sticker on it, you are at risk for being pulled over by a cop. So the bill, this year's bill, says, yeah, let's give the riders the choice to wear a helmet, but it's a conditional choice. And here are the conditions. For one, you have to have a safety training course. And I think, you know, I haven't read the bill lately. I don't know what amendments it has. I know there was talk about adding another condition that you have to have more insurance if you want to ride a motorcycle. And I'm not even sure if the bill says everybody who gets a license has to have a training course. That would mean people who already have licenses for motorcycling, unless they can prove that they've had a formal training, then they can be cited for a violation of that provision. So what these conditions are, really, let's be honest about it. This is a condition that is intended to favor somebody else, to favor some services and products, to favor insurance companies, to favor the training facilities that are offering these training facilities. That's not free market. That is not free market, ladies and gentlemen. That is now called fascism. Fascism is when the government works with the powerful people to force us, the ruled, to do something that we might not otherwise do. Now, in a voluntary society, I personally took my motorcycle class just because I had never even put a ignition key in a motorcycle. I didn't know how to ride a motorcycle, and I know I wanted to when I turned, I think I was about just maybe 42 or so. And I thought, well, you know, first thing that came to mind was, hey, let me research what kind of classes, what kind of courses there are. I had money back then, and so I took the course that I thought would suit me the best, and it was, you know, it was at the Harley-Davidson in Las Vegas, and it was a 3-day course, and I had a very informative course. But in retrospect, I also see that it was a lot of indoctrination. It was like, you have to wear a helmet, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. And it was not based on law. It was based on opinion. And so it was not real solid. The information was not based on, was not very well founded. Nonetheless, I did learn, you know, to ride a little bit, and, you know, the parking lot training and the laws and stuff like that, so I was grateful for the training, but I didn't even know there was such a thing as going without a helmet. It never even occurred to me to ride without a helmet until I rode in Arizona and I saw people without a helmet, and I'm like, I want to do that because my neck is hurting. And my husband says, no, not yet, because we both kind of learned at the same time. And so he was very pro-helmet, and I too, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, I don't want to become a drooler, you know. But it was because of the indoctrination that I had, that we've received, and fear, a lot of fear. So where was I going with this? Okay, so these fascist laws, these laws are really what we have in America is fascism. And just, you know, look at the unions, you know, the collective bargaining things. The cops in Las Vegas are so unionized that they got the legislators by the balls. And these legislators are wanting to promote more and more stricter laws to give those killbots more power, just to give them more probable cause, a thing called probable cause, so that they have more of an excuse to pull people over. I mean, for God's sakes, jaywalking? My friend, David Stilwell, I don't think he'll mind me talking about this. He's the founder of Guerrilla Lawfare. You go to GuerrillaLawfare.com. That's kind of a booming. There's a lot of membership there lately. He's doing awesome work getting the word out about so-called rights, but more than rights, how to defend yourself, because it's really scary to defend yourself in the face of killbots with guns and badges, and you know all of the force of the fear, all of the fury and the force of the state at you. How do you deal with that? So what he did is he went on a ride along with Las Vegas Metro Police Department. And I don't remember how many people the killbot that he rode with, I don't know how many people he detained, but during that whole night, it was a whole, I don't know, 10-hour shift, during the entire time, that killbot only made one arrest. Guess what he arrested the person for? Not for jaywalking. He pulled him over for jaywalking. I mean, he detained him for jaywalking. But once the guy identified himself, papers please, ring a bell. Once the guy identified himself, the cop ran a search of him and realized that there was a warrant out for his arrest. Guess what his warrant was for? Because he hadn't paid another jaywalking ticket. What the hell do we think we're doing? Wake up, people. Stop listening to CNN, ABC, all these mainstream media people who have an agenda and who are puppets, basically, for this incestuous relationship between government, big corporations, and the killbots that serve them. It's us against them, ladies and gentlemen. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, I still have 15 minutes left if you want to call in, or press 1 if you're listening right now, 347-324-3704. And this article came out on CNN, and I'll post that on my Facebook. You go to, I think it's TL's Freedom Roar or Tiger Lily's Freedom Roar. It's a Facebook group. And please join that so that you can get updates on what I'm going to be talking about on my radio show. The writer of this article, he's a CNN contributor. His name is Van Jones, and he's the president and founder of Rebuild the Dream, an online platform focusing on policy, economics, and media. He was President Barack Obama's Green Jobs Advisor in 2009. He is also founder of Green for All, a national organization to build a green economy. So, you know, a lot of people, you know, I get misunderstood a lot. People think that because I'm of Mexican descent, there's a tendency to assume that I'm a Democrat or I'm a liberal-leaning person. And because of when I start speaking and start talking about criticizing the police state, sometimes people think that I am a or criticizing, you know, marijuana laws, for example. They think that you know, I can swing both ways, you know. So I've been accused of, you know, being a far right, a far left. The bottom line is, I don't believe in rulers. Rules are okay, but we need to find a way to have a civilized society without guns. We need to all put our guns down. We need to all, but at the same time, we all need and have the human right to self-defense. We should have the human right to self-defense. I mean, the non-initiation of force or of aggression, that doesn't mean that if somebody that if somebody assaults me, I can't defend myself. But that's not me initiating force. That's me defending myself or my family or my children or my patients, for example. I was accused of being a bully to doctors. Doctors hated me. Oh, my God, they hated me when I was a nurse because I didn't bow down to them. And I took that luxury because I was a contract nurse. And this whole idea, there was a horrific bill that was trying to get passed by our legislators to give doctors the authority to deem who is mentally fit or not to bear arms. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me? I think the second topmost sociopathic group of people, next to killbots and the rulers that I mentioned, are doctors. Sure, some of them go in for altruistic reasons. They want to, you know, heal the world and, you know, borders without boundaries. And yes, it's not all of them. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of these doctors who go into these professions, they go into it because they are fundamentally sociopathic assholes who thrive on power. So Chris Dorner, you know, somebody was accusing me, you know, they said, if I would have voted, I probably would have voted for Barack Obama. So, and somebody, I had a conversation with somebody yesterday or the day before, and he said, you know, I think the worst president we ever had was George Bush. And I said, well, you know, it was a coin toss between John McCain and Obama because, you know, and I really wanted, really just because he was black. I mean, face it, I'm going to be honest, and that may be wrong, and that is wrong to cheer somebody on just because of the color of their skin, regardless of the color. But I wanted once in my lifetime to see a black person, a minority, and really he's just half black, to be a leader, and let's see what you can do. Well, how's that working out for everybody? And people said, oh, well, Obama's ruining the country, blah, 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 blah. And he passed NDAA, which is the National Defense Authorization Act. A lot of constitutionalists who are informed know very well, very intimately. Stuart Rhodes did a lot of research on this and has done a lot of promoting to raise awareness about this vile act. Stuart Rhodes is the founder of Oath Keepers, thousands of members on his group. The National Defense Authorization Act basically gives government the authority to point a finger at somebody and say, I think that they are a terrorist. So without due process, just on the mere rumor, the government can go into your house, kidnap you, and there is no age requirement. You could be 15 years old and could be, you know, on the internet and, you know, just, you know, slamming the system, the federal government. And these killbots can come in, scoop you away to Guantanamo Bay, torture you, and execute you. And President Obama signed that bill, even though he was one of the most vocal, harshest critics of George Bush and his Patriot Act. He signed an even more vile, or perhaps an equally vile, act with this National Defense Authorization Act. But guess what? The story gets juicier. Guess who introduced this bill? None other than John McCain himself. Left or right or center or libertarian, as long as you keep buying into this, we have rights and we need to go back to the Constitution. Wake up. We are all living in a plantation. We are all slaves. We are all being ruled. So this this guy, contributor for CNN, wrote, in the wake of Chris Dorner's death, much of the talk has already turned to his political views. In the wake of a tragedy, it is understandable to ask why this happened. It is appropriate to discuss ways to keep it from happening again. But we should draw the line at suddenly giving an exalted place in our national discourse to the political rantings of a murderer. Okay, let's stop right there. Why do we draw the line at giving, he says, an exalted place, but what he's really saying is we need to not look at his, he's minimizing the manifesto that this other, this killbot of killbots wrote. Why is he minimizing that? Because, in my view, it's too painful for this man to recognize that there is some truth, that there could be some truth in the so-called rantings of this so-called murderer. First of all, he never went through due process. He was murdered by cowardly killbots who burned him alive, if that's even true. And secondly, why would we not want to get into his head to find out what made his, what made him tick? That's irrational to me. I don't understand it. I guess the only understanding is that, you know, it's a psychological coping mechanism called denial. Let me go on to what he continued in his article. Before he met his end, Dorner took the lives of several human beings and wounded a few more. Okay, so let me say something about that statement. Where was his due process? He was accused of that. Where is the proof? That's an assumption that he's making. He goes on to say, one of those killed was a father of two. All right, let me stop right there. Where is his outrage for the thousands of killbots that are killing innocent victims within our borders by killbots who, under the guise of law enforcement, and overseas by killbots who are otherwise known as our heroic military? I mean, if you and I were to kill somebody, no matter what the reason, I mean, even in self-defense sometimes, often, we'll be villainized, we'll go to jail, and we will rot and be raped and just suffer inhumane conditions in these prisons. And by the way, the U.S. has more prisoners in its system per capita than any other country on the planet, and that includes Communist China and former Communist Russia combined. Land of the free and home of the brave. I'm not thinking so much. So he said before he met his end, Dorner took the lives of several human beings and wounded a few more. Okay, so he's outraged about that. But, you know, like I said, where's the outrage the other way? So he goes on and he says, one of those killed was a father of two. The law enforcement officers killed were simply doing their jobs, keeping us safe. What a Kool-Aid sucking statist animal this man named Van Jones is. How can he be so, and he's black. Does he not realize? I mean, I'm the first one to admit that our African American community has gone through hell for their liberties, and that they do it. The odds are stacked against them when it comes to facing any killbot. And this ass clown writer, contributor for CNN by the name of Chris Van Jones says that law enforcement officers were simply doing their jobs, trying to keep us safe. What about the two innocent black kin of his that got 102 bullets shot through them by cowardly killbots in a case of mistaken identity? One of them got shot through the neck and is still in the hospital. Heroic? Fuck you. That just turns my stomach. How can he, especially as a black man, his people who have been among the top oppressed in this country applaud these law enforcement officers who were fucking simply doing their jobs, trying to keep us safe? Were those assholes in Montgomery, Alabama, who arrested Rosa Parks for refusing to obey the order of her day, were they heroic people who were risking their lives just doing their jobs? That really popped my stick. I'll read fast, and I'll not, because I just have a minute. Today, with the families of the dead still grieving, it is very hard for me to shift away to focus on Dorner's political views. The families of the victims are still in shock and mourning. Think of their friends and relatives who are still shocked and devastated. How much would it hurt them if they turned on the TV and heard, instead of tributes to those lost, pundits going on about a crazy man's quote-unquote manifesto? We should not be, quote, using this occasion to debate various theories of racial justice, not while the blood of the innocent is still fresh on the ground. Dorner's actions have invalidated his notions of justice. Killing innocent people is not the proper method to advance the cause of justice, period. I do agree with that point. Furthermore, why should any of us participate in giving Dorner exactly what he wanted? We should not validate his quest for attention by discussing the political thinking, especially while mourning families are planning funerals. Have a great day. This is Tiger Lily. You're listening to Tiger Lily's Freedom Roar on Freedomizer Radio.